It was noon, and the sun was beating down hard on the road out of Pagosa. Two men were stretched out in what was left of a patch of shade behind a huge boulder which overlooked the trail.
You awake, Shorty?
Huh? Yeah, sure, boss. No problem.
You gotta stay sharp.
I'm plenty sharp. Where's Bill Leeds? That's what I want to know.
Hey, what's going on out there, Matthew?
Still nothing.
Maybe Salter was lying. Wouldn't surprise me one bit.
A third man was lying flat on top of the boulder, watching the road below, while a fourth sat near the horses, a dozen yards away. Anyone who saw the four would suspect right away that these men were up to no good.
Wait a minute. Someone's coming.
What?
It's about time.
Looks like them, all right.
Let me see.
Across the flat valley floor in the direction of town, they could now see two riders heading right toward them, making good time.
You see, boss? What did I tell you?
Shorty, this time I believe you were right. Let's go. Carrero, you bring the horses.
I can't wait to see the expression on Leeds' face.
Wing, you stay here and cover us.
You can count on me.
Whatever happens, don't let either of them get away. You understand?
Sure thing, boss.
Come on. Ha!
Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents There's Always a Trail, a dramatization of the short story by Louis L'Amour.
Sure, I know Bill Leeds was an ornery cuss, but I don't think there's a man in town who disliked him enough to shoot him.
Even if they did, they couldn't beat him in a fair fight.
True enough.
Someone must have dry-gulched him.
What I don't understand is what happened to Salter. I mean, if he wasn't killed, where is he?
And if he was,
a drifter, a cowpuncher by the look of him, sat on a bale of hay against the wall of the livery stable and listened to the three men talk about the holdup.
It's as if he just disappeared.
He was a lean fellow, with bleak eyes and a stubble of beard covering his otherwise pale face.
Now, if you ask me, I bet Salter's dead, too.
Just don't know why you say that, Sam. If he was dead, we'd have found his body. It's as simple as that.
I'm beginning to think Jake must have run off with the money.
What?
Now, Tim, I don't want to believe he'd double-cross us like that.
And I don't think he could have taken Leeds all alone.
I'm with you there, Sam. Bill Leeds was a good man with a gun. He would have never let Salter get the drop on him.
Dead or alive, it's all the same to me. That money was all I had to show for a year's hard work. I was counting on those fellas.
Now, Tim, you know I'm in the same boat as you are. Without that money, I'm finished. I've got three cowhands waiting to get paid.
Pagosa was a small town on the main road out of Hondo, and travelers rarely attracted anyone's attention. So the three men just went on talking, as if the stranger wasn't even there. Before long, the man knew enough about the holdup to pique his curiosity. He stood up and stretched lazily in the morning sun.
Is anybody trailing them?
What?
Huh?
Is anybody tailing the people who did it?
Well, no, I mean...
There isn't any trail. Whoever did it just dropped off the edge of the earth, or so it seems.
We hunted for a trail. We found where the robbers had waited, but not where they went.
There were a lot of hoof prints in the road.
They might even have passed through here then, right?
What?
Well, yeah, suppose so.
If not, they had to go through Hondo.
Yeah, they might have done that. Only
wait a minute.
What are you driving at?
Nothing. But there's always a trail. And you aren't going to get your money back if you stand around talking about it.
You're right about that, stranger.
Well, why don't you scout around? There's always some sign left.
We've been all over the entire area in the last 2 days. I mean, there isn't a whole lot to go on.
If I'd lost... How much did you say it was?
Well, I lost 7.5.
7.5?
And Tim here lost the same.
Really?
Uh-huh. $15,000 between the two of us.
Whoa. Well, if I'd lost that much money, I would definitely go after it. Good day, gents.
Huh?
Cocky feller, isn't he?
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on there. I want to talk to you.
The stranger turned and looked at Cass Bailey. The other men were waiting to see what the rancher would say next.
What's your name, friend?
Well... There's places they've said I was right handy, so you can call me that. Handy.
All right. Handy. You've done some talking. You said that if that was your money, you'd go after it. Well, half of that money happens to be mine. It represents every head of beef on the CB range that was fit to be sold this year. And as of now, half of my share belongs to you.
Cass, you're out of your mind.
Half of your share? Of the money?
If you can get it. Now, you just lost close to $4,000 in that holdup, Handy. So now we'll see if you're going to find that trail or not.
The stranger stuck his thumbs behind his belt and appeared to be thinking seriously about Bailey's offer.
You said if you lost that money, you were finished. Is that right?
It is. I'll probably try to hold on, but without that money, my chances are pretty slim. Frankly, I could use your help.
All right, Bailey. I like the way you talk. I'll accept your money on one condition. If I get it back, it buys me a full partnership in your CB range.
Well, of all the...
Cass Bailey stood, feet apart, hands on hips, staring at Handy. The man was clearly no greenhorn. There was something about his hard assurance that Bailey liked. He didn't know if he wanted the man as a partner, of course, but the idea didn't displease him either.
If you can get that money back, you've got yourself a deal.
Find me a place to sleep. I'll be along in a few days.
The stranger turned away and headed up the street. Cass Bailey continued to watch as the man stepped up onto the boardwalk in front of the general store and disappeared inside. Then he turned to go.
Have you taken leave of your senses, Bailey?
Huh?
What if he finds the money?
I'll get it back and I'll have saved my ranch, that's what.
And you'll have a new partner.
True, but I don't know what you're grousing about. You'll get all your money back and it won't cost you a thing.
Well, you do have a point there.
I'm not looking forward to explaining it to Anne, however.
She isn't going to like it, I can tell you that.
So how's about coming along to help?
Who, me? Well, all right, if you say so.
Inside the general store, the drifter who called himself Handy had given the shopkeeper a list of provisions he'd be needing. He sat down on a stack of wooden boxes and began to pick at his teeth while the fellow went about his work.
Let's see now, a pound of coffee, right?
Right. Too bad about Bill Leeds, huh?
A pound of coffee. Oh, sure is. Too bad about Salter, too. 2 pounds of jerk beef.
Why do you say that?
Well, he'll probably turn up dead, too, the way I figure it.
Oh.
Unless he did it himself, which I doubt.
Yeah, seems most folks would agree with you.
Yeah, he was a good man. 2 pounds of jerk beef. A little over, is that okay?
Sure. That'll be hard on his woman, I suppose.
You mean Maria? From what I hear, she'll get over it quick enough. Well, let's see. Dried beans. You like the red or the white?
Red will be fine. I guess I mean Maria. I never knew her name, really.
She's a fine-looking woman, isn't she? She sure had Jake wrapped around her finger anyway. Wasn't a week would go by but what he was in here buying or something.
Now, I gather you don't think she was all that crazy about him. Is that right?
She could have any man in Hondo. No telling what a woman like that'll do. I stay away from pretty women myself. That'll be 50 cents, Mr.
Handy. Here you are.
Thank you. Yeah, pleased to be of service.
Thanks very much.
He gathered up his packages and headed for the door. He was well aware that he had no better idea now than before where Jake Salter might have disappeared. But at least he had an idea where to start looking. If that meant making the acquaintance of a beautiful woman, so much the better. He knew what the dangers were in that. Outside on the boardwalk, he took a quick look around. Cass Bailey was nowhere in sight, which was just as well. Handy had accepted to do a job for the man. All he wanted now was to get on with it. He stepped off of the boardwalk and headed back towards the livery stable. He hadn't gone 10 paces when a storm overtook him.
You, hey!
Me?
Yeah, you.
It was 5 feet 3 inches, a very attractive storm, with a head of red hair that shone brightly in the morning sun.
Excuse me, but...
Are you the good-for-nothing drifter who sold my dad a bill of goods?
Well, I don't rightly know. Perhaps if you told me who you are...
Who I am?
That's what I asked.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?